In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And of all times not to have Danny Craft, the Spiritus, with tomorrow being Pentecost. But again, if we don't even have Luisa's picture up. But we got another picture here. What is, Colleen, what is this?
Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception.
Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, blessed by the Pope. And this would be a good thing to get your picture taken with, Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. This is also Our Lady of America. Our Lady of America goes mainly by Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. That cause or that blessing for the United States is very, very powerful. Please pray that the bishops can process at the Basilica in Washington, the Immaculate Conception Basilica, so that blessings will come to America. And what she really says, what she really says is it's a great blessing for the United States and for the world. She says that the children of America will bring purity to the world. And that purity is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is the divine will. So we see very clearly that Our Lady has great plans for the United States. Even though everything seems to be falling apart, there is a great blessing. And this is what we're going to continue today, part two, Luisa and the Light of the Divine Will. What Jesus has given to Luisa, Jesus wants to give to us. Okay, so this is so important that when we link ourselves to Luisa, then we also can receive the blessings that Jesus gave to her. So this is not about something good or holy or saintly. This is about the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is purity itself. To enter into this life, to enter into this light, to enter into this love of God. And it's very, very, very powerful. This is the end of the volumes where Jesus expresses to Luisa how much he wants to give to mankind. So, volume 20, November 23rd, 1926, my daughter Luisa. The living in my divine will forms the true sun between heaven and earth. So when we think about this gift of the divine will, when we think about this, what does Jesus want to do? He wants to, you know, we hear often there's the new heavens and the new earth. The true sun between heaven and earth is living in God's holy divine will. So it's not the sun in the sky that we see, but the true sun is Luisa. And that's what, you know, we have in the back the books from the Vatican, where the Vatican says, Luisa, it says, the sun of my divine will, S-U-N of my divine will, is Luisa Picaretta. And so when you read this book, you see very clearly that this is not, it's something that hasn't been seen before. It's not spoken of by the saints. The saints hint at it. The saints told us how to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God, this is Luisa's gift. And that's what you see when you watch the Dawn of a Mystery, the DVD, Dawn of a Mystery, where the Archbishop says there's only one person in the world that can explain the fulfillment of the Our Father. And the fulfillment of the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, the Archbishop says, is found. No saint explains this but Luisa. This is Luisa's job. And as Father Bucci has told us over and over again, that this gift is our gift. St. Francis, when he was here on earth, was the gift to the church at that time. St. Teresa was the gift that God gave to the church at that time. St. Thomas Aquinas was the gift that God gave to the church at that time. As a matter of fact, St. Thomas Aquinas never even finished his Summa. When he got to the third part of the Summa, he just says, this is mere straw compared to what God is going to give to the world. What Jesus has given to the world, and this is what we have to begin to understand about Luisa, is Luisa was known as the saint, Luisa la Santa, when she was alive. When she died, the whole town said, Luisa the saint has died, Luisa the saint. And Father Bucci tells us that Luisa will be known in the church as the saint of the church. Now, why? Because everything that the saints have pointed to for the last 2,000 years points to this sun, S-U-N, between heaven and earth. This new and abundant light, this new and abundant life, this new and abundant love of God coming upon the earth. What the church was given by Pope Leo XIII in 1900 was he consecrated the world and the church to the Holy Spirit. So for 100 years, the church has been praying to the Holy Spirit for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. John the 23rd, Pope St. John the 23rd, prayed that for a second Pentecost during Vatican II. John Paul the 2nd, Pope St. John Paul the 2nd, prayed on Pentecost Sunday of the year of the Holy Spirit, 98 years of praying for the Holy Spirit. And in the year of the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost Sunday, prayed, Veni Creator Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. The world has changed at that point. John Paul II told us back in 1978, get ready for the glory of the church, get ready for the new springtime of mankind. What's his name? He had holes in his hands. Padre Pio, yes, Padre Pio. Sorry. St. Padre Pio said that Luisa is a second sun that will give light and life to the church and to the world. When you think of this, there's something glorious coming. There's something wonderful coming. And this is what God has planned from the beginning of time. And he has asked us to live at this time because he's asking us to do something that he hasn't asked the saints to do. He asked the saints to do the will of God. Now he's asking us to live in the will of God. This is so, so magnificent. So Jesus says, Luisa, living in my divine will forms the true sun between heaven and earth. Its rays extending down below invest each thought, every gaze, every word, every work, every step. And binding these acts with its light, the divine will forms with them a crown around itself, keeping it firm within itself so that nothing may escape it. See, this is what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. He puts the drop of water into the chalice and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. We are that drop of water. We are that drop of nothing. We are nothing. And yet God is asking us, I want you to participate in divinity. We are enter into that cup filled with wine, the drop of nothing, and fuse and diffuse, and that drop of water becomes wine. See, this is what's being said here. These rays of this new sun are extending down below to the earth, to us, and invests every thought, every word, every deed, binding everyone, every thought, every word, every deed, with divine light, divine life, divine love. See, this is what's so extraordinary. And we thank God for this book from the Vatican, because it shows us that this is not pious thought. This is a reality. For the church to say, the Son, S-U-N, of my divine will is Luisa Picaretta, is extraordinary. Out of all that Jesus told Luisa, this is the most important for us. When the sun is shining, how beautiful it is. What does it do? It produces all the effects of the fruit and the vegetables. With the sun shining, everything comes to life. Everything comes to a new beginning. Look at this spring, all the flowers. You drive through the countryside, and what do you see? Millions and trillions of flowers. It's God just showing us his love. And St. Thomas Aquinas tells us this. You see the love of God in creation. So we are experiencing this. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to do something more than what the saints did. I want you to give back to me a divine I love you. Okay, so that's what he's teaching us in this book of heaven. We humans cannot do anything divine. It is impossible for a human to do something divine. But what Jesus is showing us is how to breathe in this divine I love you in creation and breathe out his I love you. So we say to Jesus, I want to repair and redo as you, Jesus, breathe in you breathe in my breathing. As you walked, Jesus, walk in my walking. As you, Jesus, as your heart beat in my heart beating. So we're saying to Jesus, I not only want to do your will as the saints, but I want you now, Lord, to reign in me as Lord and King, as Master, as Savior. You be everything for me. And that's what the image and likeness of God was all about. Why did God breathe into dust? He wanted to create a creature that was in his image and his likeness. Why? He's so filled with love and light and life that he wanted to share this. And there were no other gods to share it with. So what does he do? He breathes into this dust his image and likeness so that we, the creatures, the humans, can participate in his image and likeness. And that's what Jesus says. You'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? It's because of what God has done. He has breathed into dust. And he said to this dust, be in my image and likeness. And that's why we're here on earth. We're here on earth to begin to live this divine life. And we get glimpses of it in sacred scripture, like with Peter walking on the water. Here, Peter says to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, tell me, command me to come to you, walk on the water. And Jesus said to Peter, I'm taking your prayer and I'm making it my command. Come, walk on the water. And Peter walked on the water. Peter did a divine thing. Why? Because his prayer was given to Jesus, and Jesus commanded him. And so Peter did a divine thing. This gives us a glimpse of what God wants to do with us. It's just, he says, you're going to do far greater things than I. This is why, as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, God begins to expand who you are so that you can participate in God. You don't become God, but you participate in what God has given to the world. And that's what St. Augustine says. God became man, why? So man can become God, small g. We participate in this sharing of divinity. So Jesus says this. These rays, that's the true sun between heaven and earth, are investing every thought, word, and deed, and form with them a crown around itself, keeping it firm within itself so that nothing may escape it. Nothing may be human again. Everything is going to be divine. See, this is the one thing that's so amazing about this gift. It's to allow God to take us to where he wants to take us. And it's not just to be good and holy and saintly. That's what the saints were called to do. It's to do more than that. And that's why don't limit God. When God tells you something in the book of heaven, and what he says to Louisa, he's saying to us, do you want to participate in this with what I gave to Louisa? And when we say yes, when we say fiat, then God will do what he promises. If we say, well, I doubt that's going to happen, God says, fine, it's not going to happen. See, he looks at the fiat. The fiat lux, let there be light, and everything began. The fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother, let it be done to me as you say, the incarnation took place. And now this third fiat is what God is asking of us. The fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom come and reign in me on earth as exactly as the saints have it in heaven. That's what God wants. He wants us to let go of our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin, to embrace heaven while on earth, to experience heaven before we die. And that's so great about this. So Jesus says this, these rays extending up high into invest the whole of heaven, all the blessed, all the saints, and binding them with all within its divine light, it lacks nothing. It lets nothing escape it, so that triumphant, this son may say, "I enclose everything. I lack nothing of the works of my God, my Creator, of what belongs to God. With my wings of light, I extend over everything. I embrace everyone. I triumph over all, even over my eternal Maker, God Himself, because the light of His holy volition, the light of His holy divine will, there is nothing that God wants that I do not bring to Him. There is no act that I do not do for God. There is no love that I do not give to God. And with my wings of light that my eternal fiat administers to me, I am the true King who, investing everyone, dominates everything." That's what Adam said when Adam was created. And we've lost that. See, Adam was clothed in divinity. And when he sinned, he was naked. Jesus now says, "I want to clothe you again in divinity." And that's one of the reasons we wear the scapular. Our Lady says this is the clothing of heaven. And even though it's a little teeny scapular for most of us, what happens at that point, we are getting ready to be clothed in divinity again. And that's what this is what this means. When this Son that's Luisa living in the divine will, and us who want to be linked to Luisa and who want to live in the divine will, this Son that's reigning is the life of God. This is why this Son may say, "I enclose everything. I lack nothing of the works of my God and what belongs to God. With my wings of light, I extend over everything. I embrace everyone. I triumph over all, even over my eternal Maker, because in the light of His holy divine will, there is nothing that God wants that I do not bring to Him. There is no act that I do not do for God. There is no love that I do not give to God. And with my wings of light that my eternal fiat administers to me, I am the true King who, investing all, dominates everything." This is sharing in divinity. This is that drop of water, the drop of nothing, which we are becoming wine. It's not oil and water. It doesn't separate. Jesus wants us to participate in Him. So what does the church do for us? The church gives us baptism, the sacraments. And through the ontological change of holy baptism, we are no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We're ontologically changed. We become sons and daughters of God. When we participate in the Holy Eucharist, what happens at that point is we are receiving the Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. We are no longer staying in our human condition. God is saying, "I want you to advance. I want you to become what you eat." And confirmation, when we receive confirmation, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, Moses didn't have that. Noah didn't have that. King David didn't have that. Why? It wasn't time for that. But when Jesus came to earth, when Jesus started the universal life of the Catholic faith again, the universal life that Adam lost, what happens at that point is God is asking us to get ready for this clothing of divinity again, which is this paragraph right here. This is why we are called to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This is why in this year of mercy, we are calling everyone to the throne of God. We're asking God to have mercy on every human, past, present, and future. This is our duty. This is our call. This is why we are alive today. to participate in what God has done. And so the Lord is asking us to allow Him to reign in us. The Lord is asking us to allow the Lord God Almighty to breathe in our breathing, to beat in our heart beating, to walk in our walking, to gaze in our gazing, to dance in our dancing, to swim in our swimming. Whatever we do, I enclose everything. I lack nothing of the works of my Creator, of what belongs to Him. I belong to God. He paid for my life by shedding up every drop of His blood for my redemption. I belong to Him. With my wings of light, I extend over everything. I embrace everyone. Why? Because this is what Jesus has done. And Jesus now wants to do that through us. He's asking us to share in divinity. He says very clearly, I embrace everyone. I triumph for all, even over my God. Because the light of His holy divine will, there is nothing that God wants that I do not bring to Him. See, it's our whole life now becomes focused on God. It's not the things of this earth. The things of the earth are fleeting. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth that's coming. That's why we started right out. The true sun between heaven and earth is living in the divine will. You see what God is calling us to? And He says, how do you do this? To read and to study and to put into practice the 36 volumes. As you read this, as you study this, Jesus is expanding our capacity so He can reign in us. He wants us to experience what He has done. That's the likeness of God. You know, a son follows the father. And the son learns from the father how to live. And the son laughs like his father, walks like his father, talks like his father. Why? He's in the likeness of his father. And Jesus, one of his titles is in his, I can't think of the name of it. One of his titles is Father of the Age to Come. Jesus, Father of the Age to Come. So we are following Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our King, our Savior, our God, so that, why? We can become like Him. Not to live in misery, not to live in sin, but to live a divine life. This is why it's so glorious what God is doing. You do not have to become a religious to live the divine in the divine will. That was never planned by God. But because of fallen nature, because people were striving for God, striving for perfection, they founded religious lives. This is how, like the following Francis. This is how Francis lived. These are Francis's rules. This is what Francis prayed. This is how Francis dressed. Because people are so enamored by what he has done, they want to become a religious. In the divine will, that's not necessary. In the divine will, you become what God brought Adam and Eve to be like. There was no religious life at that time. Adam was a priest. Eve was a mother. You know, that. What is Jesus? Jesus comes as the high priest. Mary comes as the mother and queen. Jesus comes as the King of Kings. Jesus basically takes the place of Adam. He is the new Adam. Mary takes the place of Eve. She is the new Eve. And now Jesus says, now is the time that this new era is going to begin. And He has called us, He has predestined us to live at this time so that He can reign in us. And then this Son that He wants us to live in, this life of living in the divine will, we can say with confidence, I enclose everything. I lack nothing of the works of my God. Image and likeness. And that's what God is asking. Do you want this? And He says, who would be so foolish to say no? See, He knows the condition of the world. He knows how bad it is. And He says to Louisa, He says, this is what I see, and I'm tired of the way my people are living. And so he says, I'm going to wage war against mankind. And it's not a war of blood, it's a war of love. And mankind will not be able to push me away again. See, what's coming, he's going to overwhelm the world with love. And right now you look and it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. But Jesus promises us this. And he's saying, I'm going to give this to those who want it. I'm going to give this to those who are longing for it. And that's what we're doing. We're saying to Jesus, I believe in you. I hope in you. I trust in you. I have confidence in you. Let it be done as you say. So Jesus says this, who can ever resist the solar rays or free oneself from this divine light, this divine love, this divine life when one is outside? The power of the light is irresistible. See, God is going to overwhelm the world wherever it extends, and no one can escape its touch that is lapping against them, gently impressing upon them its kisses of light and of heat, and triumphant keeps them invested under the impression of its light, that there might be some who, ungrateful, do not pay attention to it or say a thank you. But the light does not mind even this. Rather, it minds its office of light. It remains firm in giving the divine good that the divine will possesses. See, this is coming. And all that Jesus is saying is that we give our fiat. We give our yes. More so, since the Son of my divine will is not like the sun that can be seen in the vault of the heavens, whose sphere of light is limited. If that sphere were so large as to extend so much as to form a second heaven, the earth, in rotating, would keep finding its sun, and therefore darkness and night would not be able to invest the earth. And just as the earth never loses sight of the heavens that extends everywhere, so it would never lose sight of the sun, and it would always be daylight for the earth. This is what St. Padre Pio said about Luisa. Luisa is a second sun. And this is what the Vatican says. The son of my divine will is Luis Figueroa. So what does this mean? There's no more darkness. As the sun sets in the west, a new sun comes up in the east. No more darkness. Everything is going to be daylight. Everything is going to be beautiful. The time of evil is going to come to an end. John Paul II said that in 1978. He says, we've entered into the final days of the final days. It's not the end of the world. It's a new beginning for mankind. The only one that's terrified of what is coming is the devil. His kingdom is coming to an end. God's kingdom is going to reign on earth. What we've been praying for 2,000 years, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, is going to begin. So Jesus says, now the Son of my divine will, his sphere is not limited, and therefore this Son possesses its full day. Therefore, the one who lives in the divine will embraces all times, embraces all generations, and investing the acts of everyone, the Son, this is Luisa, forms one single act, one single love, one single glory for her God. But do you know what this Son of my supreme will is formed of? My divine attributes are the rays of the sun. See, a human can't do divine acts. It's impossible. And I hear some people say, well, I'm doing divine acts. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. My divine attributes, Jesus says, are the rays of the sun. And so our God is asking us to participate in him, to do what Jesus breathed in my breathing. So when we take a deep breath, it is Jesus that is breathing. He takes us at our word. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. When we feel our heart beating, it's Jesus' heart that is beating. My attributes are the rays of the sun, that though different among themselves in their qualities, in the office they hold, they are light in their substance. And my holy divine will, combining light that assumes all these lights together, is the director of all my attributes. So here we're saying to Jesus, I no longer want to do anything by myself. See, now the saints were doing the will of God. When St. Teresa washed the dishes, God looked down and said, there's St. Teresa washing the dishes. She's doing my will. What Jesus gave to Louisa is much, much different. To live in the divine will is to say, Jesus, wash in my washing. So when the Father looks down and sees us doing the dishes, he says, in the divine will, he says, there is my Son doing the dishes. It's Jesus in that soul doing the dishes. This is a divine act because Jesus is doing it. It's not St. Teresa doing a human saintly act, but it's Jesus. Why? Living in that soul. Do you see the vast difference that God is asking of us? It was not time for St. Teresa to possess this gift. Why? She did not have Louisa. This is Louisa's gift. And our God is asking us, pleading with us, to allow Louisa to reign in us. Okay, why? She allowed Jesus to breathe in her breathing. She allowed Jesus to walk in her walking, talk in her talking. And that's what we're being taught. We're being taught how to do this. And if you don't have Louisa, you don't have the divine will. This is her gift. If you don't have Francis and you're a Franciscan, how can you be a Franciscan? You follow the one who started this religious life, Franciscan life, or Dominic with a Dominican life, or Benedict with a Benedictine life. But who possesses the divine will? It's Louisa. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn. Look at all the titles that Jesus gave to Louisa. 2,200 titles that we know of who Louisa is. Just the other day when we were reading the nimbus that surrounds the saints, this ray of, it's like a glowing cloud or a halo around a saint. Jesus says, Louisa is the nimbus of the divine will. And then when you look at cloud in sacred scripture, it always talks about like Jesus assumed into the heavens on a cloud. Stephen saw Jesus on the clouds of heaven. This is power and mystery. So what does Jesus say about Louisa? Is this is my power. This is my mystery, Louisa. This is the nimbus of the divine will. This glowing light. And see, we haven't even gotten close to who Louisa is. I mean, for Father Bucci to say Louisa is going to be called the saint of the church. The saint of the church. We have no idea of what God is going to teach us about this newborn. It's going to be glorious. And he's asking us to focus on this. You know, each word that the Word of God spoke to Louisa is filled with life and light and love. And as we enter into this word, Jesus expands this word, each and every word, so that we can begin to understand this great gift that he has given. So Jesus says this. He says, my divine attributes are the rays of the sun, though different among themselves in their divine qualities, in the office that they hold, are light in their substance, and my will, my divine will, and the combining light that all assumes these lights together is the director of all my attributes. So when my creatures... And so when creatures deserve to be struck, okay, that means this is the chastisement, this is the tribulation, I direct the ray of light of my divine justice and defending my rights, strike the creatures. Okay, so here we see what's going to happen after this time of mercy. Jesus says to St. Faustina, I'm giving you divine mercy before divine justice. Divine justice is coming. And when the creature deserves to be struck, we can't kill 3 babies per second worldwide and not be struck. You can't have, you know, gay marriages and not be struck. You can't have the amount of drugs and alcohol and pornography and not be struck. We're going to be punished. It's a fact. And it's... You know, right now people are looking for a savior in the voting of our elections. The savior is Jesus, and what you're going to, it can't be a human. You know, if everybody's pleading, what are we going to do? Who are we going to vote for? Jesus has to reign in us. And that's why he says, very clearly, my attributes are the rays of the sun. This is what God wants us to participate in. He's asking us, he's pleading with us to get ready, because the world has to be punished. You cannot live like this. It's very, very important that we turn back to God and let God reign in us, let God rule in us, let God have this new day, these new heavens and the new earth reigning in us, because this world has to go the way of the world. And the new heavens and the new earth, that's why Our Lady is saying all over the world, get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. She says also that you have to change now, because you will have no time to change when everything happens. And we have to understand that when time comes to an end, that's where we stay for all eternity. And either we change now completely, or if there's a sliver of the Antichrist in us, that will have to be torn from us, burnt from us, destroyed from us. You know, and most people have interwoven in their lives things that are opposed to God. You hear that from women who, somebody says, I'm pregnant. And they go, thank God it's you and not me. That's evil. God is a God of life. God is a God of the living. And for somebody to curse a child by saying, thank God it's you and not me, there's things that have to be taken from that person. Things that have to be purged from that person who doesn't understand how beautiful. See, everything that's created is a work of God. Every animal, vegetable, and mineral is a work of God. You can cook a fish to eat. It's a work of God. The only life of God is a child, the soul. And what have we done? We save the works of God, don't save the whale, but destroy a baby. This is so evil that we will have to be punished. The mother of abortion is artificial means of birth control. That's what Saint Teresa says, Saint Mother Teresa. The mother of abortion is birth control, artificial means of birth control. That's where most people live, and they believe that the children who march for life on January 22nd, 90% believe abortion is wrong. 90%. 80% believe homosexual marriage is correct. You know, that has to be all interwoven and taken out of that soul. You know, it's everything that is opposed to God has to be, you know, this weaving of our life, these threads have to be pulled out from us that are not of God. And that's where purging comes. That's where the purgatory comes. And it's St. Thomas Aquinas says the flames of purgatory are the flames of hell, but they're not everlasting. You know, when somebody says to me, well, all I want to do is get to purgatory, I don't want to even see those flames. That's the flames of hell. I don't want to even be near those flames. So Jesus says to Louisa, if you're striving to live in the divine will and enter into this life, you cannot suffer the flames of purgatory. And so what does that mean? That means we are called by God to purge ourselves of everything that is opposed to Him. It's very, very powerful what God is asking us to do. And He's given us the grace to do it as we read, as we study. Volume 20, December 12, 1926. After this, my sweet Jesus showed me himself, placing my little soul inside a sun, and with his holy hands, Jesus held me still within that light. which was such that as it covered me completely inside and out, I could not see, nor was I able to see anything but divine light. And my adored goods added my daughter Louisa. In creating Adam, the divinity placed Adam inside this son of my divine will and all creatures in Adam. This sun served as a garment, not only for his soul, but its rays were such as to cover his whole body in such a way as to serve as more than a garment for him, rendering Adam so adorned and so beautiful that neither kings nor emperors have ever appeared so adorned as Adam appeared with this garment of most refulgent light. That's how we're going to be clothed in heaven. It's to share in God's divinity. We're nothing. We're dust. Yet Jesus is saying, I breathe in you my image and likeness. I want you to be like me. Those who say that before sinning Adam went naked are wrong. False, false. All things created by us, triune God, are adorned and clothed. He, Adam, who was our jewel, the purpose for all things that were created, was Adam not to have the most beautiful garment and the most beautiful ornament of all? So to him befitted the beautiful garment of light of a son of our will. And since Adam possessed this garment of light, Adam had no need of material garments in order to cover himself. And as Adam withdrew from the divine fiat, so did the light withdraw from Adam's soul, from Adam's body. Adam lost his beautiful garment. And in seeing Adam no longer surrounded with divine light, Adam felt naked. Feeling ashamed and seeing that he was the only one who was naked in paradise in the midst of all created things, Adam felt the need to cover himself with the things of paradise. And he made use of superfluous created things to cover his nakedness. This is so true that after my highest sorrow of seeing my garments divided and my tomb and tunic gambled away, as my humanity rose again, I, God, took no other garments, but I, God, clothed myself with the most refulgent garment of the Son of my supreme will. That's why when you watch the movie of The Passion of the Christ with Mel Gibson, he is naked. Why? Because we cannot even compare what God looked like in glory. He says very clearly, that was the same garment as the one that Adam possessed when he was created. Because in order to open heaven, my whole humanity was to wear the garment of light of the Son of my supreme will, a royal garment. And as this garment gave me in the insignia of king and dominion into my hands, I, God, opened heaven to all the redeemed ones. And presenting myself before my celestial Father, I, God, offered him the garments of his divine will, whole and beautiful, with which my humanity was covered, so as to make the Father recognize all the redeemed ones as our children. So while it is life, at the same time, my divine will is the true garment of the creation of the creature. Therefore, it holds all rights over the soul. God has all rights over us. And this is where the fiat comes in. Let it be done to me as you say. When you have something beautiful happen to you, it's fiat. When you have a tragedy happen to you, it's fiat. He has total right over me. He is the Lord of my life. And we have to give our fiat. This fiat will fill you with peace, joy, and happiness, even if it's terrible sorrows that you have to go through. But how much do they not do to escape from within this divine light? Therefore, be still in this Son of the eternal fiat, that I, God, shall help you maintain yourself in this light. That's what we're learning. We're learning to be little, to be nothing, to be insignificant, to be docile, to be submissive. Saying to the Lord, be it done to me as you say. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary. And we have to be still to let them teach us. It's very, very clear. On hearing this, Louisa said to Jesus, my Jesus, and my all, how is it this? If Adam, in the state of innocence, had no need of garments because of the light of your divine will, was more than a garment, the sovereign queen, however, possessed your divine will as a whole, and you yourself were your divine will itself, yet neither the celestial mother nor yourself wore garments of light, and both of you made use of material garments to cover yourself. How is this? And Jesus continued, saying, my daughter, both my mama and I came to set fraternal bonds with the creatures. We came to raise the decayed humanity, and therefore to take up the miseries and humiliations into which humanity had fallen, in order to expiate for them the cost of our lives. Had they seen us clothed with light, who would have dared approach us to deal with us? And in the course of my passion, who would have dared to touch me? The light of the Son of my will would have blinded them and crushed them to the ground. Therefore, I, Jesus, had to make a greater miracle, hiding this divine light within the veil of my holy humanity, appearing as one of them, because it represented not Adam innocent, but Adam fallen. So I, Jesus, was subject myself to all of Adam's evils, taking all of them upon myself as if they were my own, in order to expiate for mankind before the divine justice. But when I rose again from the dead, representing Adam, I ceased the miracle of keeping the garments of refulgent Son of my will, hidden within the veil of my humanity, and I remain clothed with the most pure light, with its royal and dazzling garments, and I made my entrance into my fatherland, leaving the doors open that had remained closed up to that point, so as to let all of those who had followed me enter. So we'll end there, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.